All right, so we are holding Kofiud Bey's Amud Aleph, so a little bit past the middle of the Amud, line begins the Tabel. The line begins the Tabel on Kofiud Bey's Amud, Sabel, whatever, on Kofiud Bey's Amud Aleph. Okay. Getting back to, we mentioned before about blood that comes out of meat while it's being roasted. We said that, therefore, if you were to put a beit duvi, which is a bowl or something under the that you put under roasting meat to catch the drippings and in particular to catch the fat, then if you have liver involved over there, you have a problem because the blood from the liver is thicker and therefore it stays on top and mingles with the fat. So more on this topic of blood or juices that come out of meat. Amud of Nachman Amishmo. A loaf of meat over which you sliced a piece of meat that was roasted. Also, you're not allowed to eat that bread because blood comes out of the meat and gets absorbed in it. So there's two. So there's two possibilities. One possibility, the Rashba brings both of them. One is we're talking about the meat was already roasted enough that blood isn't going to be coming out of it as a result of the roasting, but the pressure of the knife, durka de sakina, as the Gemara calls it, causes more blood to come out, and therefore you have blood coming out onto the bread. The other way of looking at it, which some of the Rishonim say, the Raivet and others say, is what comes out isn't blood. The fact of the matter is it is roasted enough that no blood is coming out, but it's probably Maris Ayin, because it looks like blood.
So it
exuded enough that you could eat it now. It's considered roasted enough that you could eat it. And in terms of the blood that would be left inside the muscles at that point, it's not such a problem because we've learned a number of times already that blood that's in the organ, that's in the meat, that didn't come out, that didn't move from place to place is mutter. That's so you have the whole concept, for example, that in principle. In principle, instead of kashering meat, you could put it into vinegar or something like that, which constricts the blood vessels and forces everything to stay where it is, and then you actually be allowed to eat it raw or without any further preparation. Well, nice, we don't do that because we're not sure how to do that correctly, but whatever. In principle, such a thing is allowed. So therefore, over here also,
put it in
vinegar. So the point being, same thing over here. It has been roasted. So as far as that's concerned, you could eat it. But now the problem is, and therefore the Gemara is not asking about whether you can eat the meat itself. The problem is you cut it over a piece of bread, and therefore the pressure of the knife causes more blood to come out. And so the question is, that blood that's now collecting in the bread, is that mutter or not?
Let me say over a piece of bread. It's pressing on the bread?
Doesn't matter. The point is that the bread absorbed it. So anyway, that's all one way of looking at it. And again, the other way is, no, for sure, there's no question about the blood is in fact, whatever this juice is in fact mutter to eat. It may be red or whatever, but nevertheless, it's mutter. The problem is marisayin. Okay. So anyway, so we're saying also, you're not allowed to eat that bread, that absorb this red stuff. Vahani milid asnik, however, there are some conditions in that. When is it osir? First of all, only if it was red. Rashi learns that it means that the blood that we're talking about specifically, the meat had previously become red. We had a concept before. We had about 20 blocks ago, we had a case, umsa de asmik, where you have a piece of raw meat that was reddened while it was still alive. In other words, the animal was injured or something, and you have a collection of blood in there. So in other words, the idea would be that if that happened, then we have to be concerned that maybe the roasting is not getting out all of the blood. Therefore, like you have extra blood over there that normally may be fine. The roasting eventually will take care of it anyway, but nevertheless, now that you're cutting it with a knife, then it's more likely to come out and not to have been dealt with the roasting. Or the other way, again, would be it's more of an issue of marasayin over there. Other Rishonim learn that Rabbi Hanano, for example, that asmik over here just means that the juice has to be red in order for us to be worried about it. If it's coming out some other color, then obviously it's not blood and there's no marasayin. So that's number one. Vahani mili de'avre. Another thing is it only applies if the blood penetrated all the way through the bread. Only then would it be osir. Vahani mili de'asmeche. And furthermore, also that this juice that's coming out of the meat is thick. Only then is it osir. Avaklishta. But if it's a thin kind of liquid, even though it's red, less one blood, then there's no problem with it because then it's obviously not blood. Rabbi Nagershav has a bit of a different gerusa that he's saying that only if it's a thin piece of bread, then you have a problem. If it's a thick piece of bread, in principle, the whole bread is not also all you have to do is cut off the part of the thickness where this blood penetrated, and the rest of it will be mutter. Okay. So Shmuel Shadire Lekalbe, so Shmuel, when he had a situation like that, a piece of roasted meat that was cut over a piece of bread and absorbed this blood or red juice or whatever, he would take that, he would take such a loaf of bread and throw it to his dog to eat. So he himself wouldn't eat it because of the blood, but because he just said that's also okay. But he would give it to a dog. Rav Huna Yohizle the Shameh, and Rav Huna, on the other hand, would give it to his Shamash. So the question is whether his Shamash was a Yid also, Manavshan. Either way, how is he allowed to? Ishari Lakula Alma Shari. If it's Mutter, then it's Mutter to everybody. He also Lakula Alma also. And if it's also, it's also to everybody. What kind of a thing is this that Rav Huna himself is Machmer and won't eat it, but he says it's allowed for his servant to eat? The answer is no. It is actually, Rav Huna disagreed with Shmuel and held it is actually Mutter. Shiny, Rav Huna da Amina Daite. But it's different. Rav Huna was very delicate and sensitive. He wouldn't eat it, partially because he doesn't like eating such stuff. Not because it's also, right. Okay. Rava Achille, on the other hand, Rava would eat it without any problems, even with none of the conditions above. Even if the meat was reddened while the animal was alive, or the juice that's coming out now is red, even if it's thick stuff, etc., even if it goes all the way through the bread, Rava held that it's mutter. And he would eat it. The Kori like Chamar Basar, he called it the wine of the meat. In other words, it's not blood anymore. At that point, once it's been roasted enough, and they were showing him say that we're talking about once it's half roasted, then whatever's coming out of it is not considered blood anymore. Because it's not. There comes a point in halacha when it's not considered blood anymore. Again, no. Until it's half roasted. Again, no. In other words, say you shechted the animal. You again. We have to remember one possibility is we're talking about this meat has not been kashered at all. It's just been roasted. But once it's roasted halfway, enough of the blood has been extracted from it. Then already anything that comes out after that is not considered blood la la anymore. We have to remember that when blood is cooked anyway, you're not over on it daraisa anymore. So at that point, therefore, we can be meikel on it. At that point, it's only also dirabanan. And therefore, the chachamim can be meikel on it and say that even though it may still look like or taste like or whatever blood, nevertheless, at that point, it's not considered blood anymore. Okay. And that, in fact, is halacha.
We base ourselves on what
the Gemara is saying over here. That dam shemolcha, is not also daraisa. Okay. Fine. Another din, Omer of Nachman, Omer Shmuel. Getting back to this matter of the bay dugi that we said before, where you put a keli under the roasting meat to collect the drippings, and full of bay dugi. So you're not allowed to put a keli of this bay dugi under meat that's roasting until all the reddish stuff has come out of it. Now, as Gemara is going to point out soon, that there seems to be a little bit of a contradiction between this and the previous previous thing that he was saying about when blood comes out that you're not allowed to eat it anyway. So once all the reddish stuff has come out, then you're allowed to put the keli over there to collect the drippings. So the question is menoya din, and at what point do you know that all the mare ad mumis is gone? So Mazutra, Mishmeder, Rapapa, Omar, Mishatala Timrasa. So Mazutra says in the name of Rapapa, when the smoke starts coming up. Smoke from what? Rashi has two explanations. His own explanation, which is first, is that it means when the meat starts smoking. So then you know at that point, and up until the meat is, and before the meat itself starts to emit smoke, then the pasture's blood is still coming out of it. Once it starts emitting smoke, it means that it's already cooked well enough, that it's already roasted well enough, that now no more blood is coming out of it.
And it's coming out, it's on blood.
Right. Then Rashi brings an explanation from Ezra Beim that it means when the coals start emitting smoke. The point being, in other words, as when blood is landing on them, then it doesn't make them smoke because it makes them, they start, every time a drop of blood comes onto them, they start going out. Okay, but not a constant column of smoke. As opposed to once the blood stops dripping, once you have only fat dripping, fat is flammable, therefore it makes the coals burn more, and therefore it makes smoke come up on a more constant basis from the fat burning in the smoke. Okay. However, maskikla Rabashi, but Rabashi asks on that, what kind of proof is that all the blood is out? The dimakata mata ilal le mata. Maybe at that point only the bottom part. Remember, we learned yesterday that the spits were hanging downward, so only the part that's closer to the fire maybe is already reached that point where blood's not coming out. Ilal le mata. What about the part higher up, further away from the fire? Is not necessarily at that point yet. So that doesn't work. Ela amar Rabashi. So Ravashi says there's no way of fixing up the situation and being able to put this Bei Dugi there early on. Ela Mishne Bei Tauti Galalei Milcha. What you have to do is you have to put in there two lumps of salt. Why two? Rashi says you put one of them on the meat itself. You put another one into the keli. What happens is the blood, the salt, therefore, as it does when you're kashering, it causes the blood to be drawn out. It causes the blood to be drawn out of the meat faster. And then the other one that you put in the keli causes the blood to be drawn to the bottom of the keli and separate from the fat. Then you'd be allowed to do that earlier. Earlier in the process of roasting it. And then once you do that, and then what you do is you put the salt on the meat, and also that's how Rashi explains. Bein ala boso, bein b'sechakli, both on the meat and on the keli.
That's two lumps.
That's why he says two lumps.
And then you could use the extract.
Then what you do is when you're done roasting, then you pour it off gently. You skim off the fat gently so that none of the blood comes with it, because the blood will all be underneath in the keli and the fat. So that's the thing. The first bit of salt that you put on the meat will cause the blood to be drawn out faster, and the second one, which is in the keli, will cause the blood to sink to the bottom, and therefore you'll be able to pour off just the top layer, which is the fat, and you'll be okay. Tosfos explains that even we learned before actual sechte also, but this is a little bit different because once you do this way, then the point is the fat is completely separated from the blood. Actual sechte that we talked about the other day is where you have you're going to squeeze the piece and you're going to get, let's say, most of the milk that it absorbed out, such that there's no time, but there's still some remaining. Here, Ravashi is telling us that you can do this way and you can literally get all the blood out of the fat. However, Tosfos says the problem with it is that we don't know what size pieces of salt we're talking about. And the problem is you can't use too much salt because Tosfos brings from the Bahag that if you use too much salt, then it has the opposite. Then it has the opposite effect. It makes the blood too thin, therefore it gets mixed up with the fat. Practically speaking, we can't really do that. Practically speaking, all we can do is wait until the meat is half roasted, and then, as we said before, whatever comes out of it is chamar baser, is meat and wine, and therefore we're allowed. And therefore, at that point, you can put the Bei Dugi over there. The salt thing, the Rambam brings the salt thing, for example, because after all, our Gemara does mention it, but in Shulchan Aruch it doesn't bring it. Because practically speaking, what size lumps of salt are you supposed to use? Okay. Now, the problem with this is, did Shmuel actually say that once all the reddish stuff comes out of mutter from the roasting? We just said before that Shmuel said that if you cut meat that's roasted over a loaf of bread, even though it's roasted enough that no more red stuff is coming out of it, nevertheless, now when you cut whatever comes out of it, which is red and thick and so forth, is osur.
Only it's only in the beginning of the meal with the bread, only in the first
part. No. We're talking about apparently we're talking about even afterwards. Again, one explanation of our Gemara, one explanation of Shmuel's first statement is that we're talking about that the meat has already been roasted enough that we're talking about that the meat has already been roasted
so
enough. So the answer
that
is
you, that was the problem.
Well, so again, one possibility was that we're talking about that it wasn't kashered previously; it's starting to roast now, and Shmuel is saying whatever's coming out of it is osur. And the other part, if it's thick and red and so forth, the other possibility is we're saying even afterwards, because he would say marisayin, because it looks like blood. So how is he saying over here that once red stuff stops oozing out of it, then you're allowed to put a baby over there? And you also have, and later on, you're also going to find red coming out. The answer is shiny hosam da'agav duchka desakina polit. It's different because even after it started smoking, fine, no more blood is coming out of it because of the fire. But if, when you cut it and you're pressing the knife on it, then that causes more blood to be extracted. So Shmuel holds that even so, that blood that's extracted from it is still going to be ulcer, and therefore you can't eat the bread that it was cut over. Whereas Rava disagrees and says that you can. Okay. Another din. Amr of Nachman. Dogim v'oifes shemolchon zayim zeh. If you salted fish and birds together, and Rashi explains, when we say birds, but chicken, we don't mean davka chicken, we mean any kind of meat. The point, because any other kind of meat is even tougher. The point that the Gemara is going to make over here is that that fish are very soft and absorb easily. Chicken is less so; it's harder, and of course, animal meat is even harder than that. But the Gemara is mentioning fish and birds, meaning even when it's only birds and which are relatively soft. Nevertheless, you have a problem if you salt them together with fish. Asurin, then the fish are going to be ulcer, because the problem is you have blood coming out of the chicken and then getting absorbed into the fish. The blood of the fish themselves is not ulcer. You're actually even allowed to eat fish blood even if it's collected in a keli, provided that you can demonstrate somehow that it comes from fish. For example, there are scales in it. So the blood that comes out of the fish that might get absorbed into the chicken is not a problem. But the problem is the other way around, that the blood from the chicken comes out and gets absorbed into the fish. So the fish are going to be ulcer. Rishonim talk about, do we mean completely ulcer? Do we mean that maybe only they're only going to be ulcer? Could they clip a peel thickness?
So that's when you do it together, the fish and the chicken?
Yeah.
You boil it together?
No. We're salting them, the kasher. Well, in the chicken, you're salting the kasher, and the fish, you're salting in order to prepare it to eat. You can't eat raw fish, because you can't eat unsalted fish.
Right. But
yeah.
You place them.
You place them. That's what the Gemara is going to figure out, where exactly you place them. But yeah, the point, right now we're just saying a basic din, that if you have the fish and chicken salted together, then you have a problem. Then you have a problem. The fish are going to be ulcer because of what they absorb from the chicken. So again, you have different Rishonim talk about, does it mean it's also completely, or does it mean it's only also Kadei Klippa? In Shulchan Aruch it brings that it means it's also Kadei Klippa. And actually, it also says if the fish still have their scales on, then you have less of an issue. Because when you take off the scales, that amounts to Kadei Klippa. Then you're taking off a peel. Plus also the Rosh points out that anyway, if the fish still have their scales on, then they don't absorb as easily.
Okay. It must get on in a certain year, it's not the whole song of fish.
Well, so we're talking about if the piece has scales on it, we're talking about. We're talking about
scales only like half the fish.
Right? No. Most fish are covered pretty much. Yeah. We'd have to be talking about a whole fish, obviously, because if it was only half, it was a piece of fish, then yeah, you're not going to have scales on the inside of it. Okay. So I'm going to ask, hey, Chidomi, what's the scenario here? Ibekli she'enim enukov, are you talking about that it's in a container without holes? So all the blood and everything that's coming out is sitting over there in the keli. Well, then after the oifus nami activity, then forget about fish. Even if you had various pieces of chicken in there, or even if you had one piece of chicken in there, it would be a problem because it's going to absorb the blood that ends up in the keli. Yeah, because there is a concept. The blood is going to stay in the keli. And now it is true, you have a concept, Ivy Detoted, the Miflat Leibala, which the Gemara is mentioning over here, that while it's exuding, it's not going to absorb. But eventually, it stops exuding. Eventually, so then, yeah. Ibekliminukov, and if we're talking about the keli has holes, or it's a board that's tilted or whatever, after the dogim va'ofis nami shori, then it should be allowed, even if you have fish and chicken together, because the blood goes out and it's not going to get absorbed into the fish.
What does that mean?
Even dogim va'ofis. In other words, not just pieces of meat that are together in one keli, even if it's fish, even if we're talking fish, you're sure you shouldn't have a problem. The answer is la'olam b'kli menukav. No, we are, after all, talking about it is in a container with holes. The dogim mishum the rofu kamaihu. However, fish, because they have a soft skin, kadni upalti, therefore they end up being poilet. They're poilet. They exude their blood and their juices first. And therefore, the ofis kmiti, whereas the chicken is harder, is it tougher. So it doesn't exude its blood as fast. Therefore, bosser denaichi dogim pliti oifos. So what happens is after the fish are finished exuding, meanwhile the chicken is still exuding blood. And had a pliti oifos. The birds are still exuding. Vahadar bali mine, and then later on, the fish therefore are going to absorb what's still coming out of the chicken.
Even though there's holes,
but nevertheless, we're talking about that. It's not enough because they're still going to absorb. So Tosfos gets into a very long discussion about the different possibilities over here. Among other things, Tosfos says, so why would it be any different than, let's say, for example, you have a bunch of pieces of meat together over there. They don't necessarily all stop exuding at the same time, especially, for example, you don't necessarily put them all in and then start kashering them at the same time. You might put in one and then salt it, and then later on put in another and so forth, and you don't have a problem. So Tosfos talks about a number of possibilities. One of them is that in general, we said the other day in the Gemara that when you're roasting meat, if blood comes off one piece and then falls onto another one, that's fine because it'll just slide off. It's not going to get absorbed as opposed to, we said, milk gets more absorbed. Because blood is slippery like that. So therefore, we could say the same thing, Tosfos says, when it comes to salting, when it comes to kashering meat with salting, same idea, blood is relatively slippery. Therefore, it will, so even if it comes off a higher piece and goes on to the lower one, the blood will cause it, the salt on the meat will cause it to slide off. However, with fish, it's not like that because fish are softer. Therefore, they're going to end up absorbing that. Therefore, they're going to end up absorbing that blood. That's one possibility. Then there's another one. Tosfos mentions is that there's a period of time when the meat is exuding blood, and then later on, you have it continues for a while after that to exude sear juices. So therefore, you have meanwhile the other piece. When you're talking about different pieces of meat, eventually, fine, they're finished exuding blood, but they're still exuding juices, and you still have as they're exuding, they can't also absorb at the same time. And therefore, from the top to the bottom, pieces of meat, as opposed to that doesn't work for fish.
Why?
Because fish don't exude for that long. So therefore, they exude less than meat. So that's the second answer in Tosfos. Tosfos brings from Rabbi Yosef from Orleans, who says that what it is also similarly that the fish finish exuding before the chicken. But the thing is that what it is, and again, that finishes before the chicken does. So therefore, they absorb from the chicken and they don't exude it again afterwards, whatever they absorb afterwards, as opposed to when you have different pieces of meat, because, okay, fine. So the bottom pieces over there have been sitting there longer. But and later on they're absorbing more that came out from the top. But nevertheless, they end up exuding it as well.
Another thing I would say is that in the big shlach itself, after they eat the nirichot, they throw everything into a big sink of water, and it soaks and they go through 2-3 times.
Well, that is true. The Gemara is going to talk about, and we'll get to tomorrow, about Hashem, that the kashering process involves rinsing at first. So that gets and one reason for the rinsing before the salting is to get off the surface blood. That's true. But here we're talking about the blood that comes out during the melicha process itself. So washing it ahead of time doesn't really help with that. No, but the point is, you have the various answers of Tosfos over here, why one, even if one piece, first of all, again, maybe one piece doesn't absorb from the other, or even if it does, then it exudes it right back out again. So fish are softer, and therefore you're going to have a problem. In this connection, actually, Tosfos mentions what you mentioned yesterday, Yossel, a case that happened in Rashi's household, where a piece of meat was salted to kasher it. Later on, and in the normal way, on a board, so the blood can drip off. Later on, they put it in a barrel, in a container or whatever. It stayed there all night. In the morning, they found the container full of juice that came out of the meat. So the question is, does that make a trace? Is that juice that came out, does it have blood in it? And in that case, the meat's been sitting in blood all night.
And then it would be also.
So Rashi said that no, since the meat had been long enough in the salt before it was placed in that keli, then at that point, this stuff that comes out into the keli, like we said before, is not considered blood anymore. It's just considered moichel ba'alma. It's just considered juice.
Implying if you left it in the barrel without salting it,
then it would be eventually. Yeah, that would be also. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the so that's what it is. Therefore, so these fish therefore are going to be also because they absorb blood from the chicken that they were salted with, and therefore you have a problem. Okay. Here's another case. Rav Mori bar Rochel imlach le b'sau shchuta b'hadi b'sau tshefa. Rav Mori bar Rochel had meat of shchuta, kosher meat, that was accidentally salted together with meat of a nevela. Now, in this case, it was also in a perforated keli, like you're supposed to. But the problem was that so Rashi explains, the question is, we just established when you come to salting different pieces of meat together, as long as it's in a keli where the blood can drain away, then we say we don't have a problem that one piece is going to absorb blood from the other piece, because either it won't absorb it in the first place, or because it'll slide off, or because it'll exude it again afterwards together with its own blood, et cetera, according to the various answers of Tosfos. The question is, in this case, then, are we also good? In that case, it should still be allowed, even though one of the pieces was nevela.
Why you got salt in the nevela?
Accidentally, somebody was salting the veil. I don't know, because they wanted to feed it to a guy or to an animal or whatever. I don't know, whatever. It so happened that there was meat of nevela. Trefa, it says over here on the side. Maybe she says nevela. Anyway, whatever it is, the point is that it was meat that you're not allowed to eat. So the question is, if it's only a matter of blood that comes out, then you wouldn't have a problem, because blood is anyway also, and yes, we're saying that when you salt pieces of meat together, then the second one doesn't absorb from the first one in such a way that it'll make it also. So maybe then here it would be the same thing. On the other hand, maybe it's different over here because one of them is nevela, and therefore you have tzir that comes out of them. So also the kamei de Rava. So he came to Rava to ask the shaila. Omale, and Rava answered him by quoting a braisa. The pasuk says about the shrotim hatmeim. It says that these are the ones that are tame, and the hay is extra. So it just said, Eilat Tmeim Hasam B'Kosheres. But therefore, last of Tziron, that comes to teach us that the Tzir, that the juice of them, that the juice that comes out of them is Osir, the Roitzbon, and also the gravy of them. The Rashba explains that Tzir is what, as we're saying in our Sylvia over here, is what comes out from salting as a result of salting. Roitzbon is what comes out of them as a result of cooking. So if you were to salt the sheref and the seer comes out of it, it would be also the choice was explained, by the way, that when it comes to fish, we learned earlier that the juice that comes out of fish is only considered zeya ba'alma, so it's considered sweat, and it's not actually osur even from non-kosher fish. I mean, that's harder, as opposed to with shrotim, we're saying this is a full-fledged drasha, and the juice that comes out of them would actually be treif, yeah? The roitzbon and the gravy of them, the kifa shalahan, and the kifa, which we said before, that the kifa is the little bits that fall to the bottom of the pot, the bits of meat and then spices and whatever. Tosfos actually brings from the next perek that the Gemara is going to mention over there, that if we're talking about pieces of meat, then they're also anyway, because you have actual, it's actual meat. Of course it's considered part of the thing, and therefore the Gemara mentions over there that primarily kifa means the spices that fall to the bottom of the pot. Anyway, the point is that all of them are osur. So therefore, in other words, the idea is that tzir is osur. So here you have a problem. The kosher meat absorbed tzir, absorbed fine blood. We're not worried about, but we are worried about that it absorbed tzir, that it absorbed juice from the non-kosher meat. Therefore, you have a problem. And tzir is more easily absorbed.
Only for
shrotim, or? Well, in other words, once you say by shrotim, then it applies more generally to any other isuri achila, in this case, nevela or tereka. The Rashba has a couple of problems with Rashi's explanation, and he explains a little bit differently that Rav Mori bar Rochel's question is, does meat that's being salted actually exude sear at all, or does it only exude blood? And if it's blood, then there's no problem, because it doesn't get absorbed in the other piece. And Rava answers him from this braisa, where we see that shrotim, which also contain meat, that are salted, shrotim are also fine. It's still similar. It's meat is meat, after all. I mean, many of the shrotim are mammals also. A number of the shrotim, the cholad and the achbar and so forth, are a couple of them are mammals. So they have meat that's just like animal meat. And the other ones are reptiles, which okay, their meat maybe is similar to bird meat. I don't know. So the point being, when you salt them, see what comes out. We see from this brighter.
How do you recognize tear from blood?
That's what we said before. In principle, the idea is as long as it's red, it's blood. But we said that eventually, eventually once it's roasted enough, or once it's salted enough, then that's what Rashi had mentioned over here. That's what Rashi had mentioned in this case, that Tosfos brings, that once it was salted enough to extract the blood, then whatever comes out is tear. After that, it's tear. And the same thing with roasting. We said once it's half roasted, whatever else is. No, not necessarily. Does it have to be white? That's the thing. It can still be red, and still it's not considered blood anymore. Okay. No, obviously, in the case that Rashi is talking about, in the case that Tosfos is talking about, where they had this piece of meat within the juice, that was in its juices all night. If the juices weren't red, they wouldn't have had a reason to have any suffering. Obviously, they must have been red. And yeah. Okay. Fine. So therefore, so that's Rava's proof to Rav Mori Bar Rochel. Again, according to Rashi, that if kosher meat absorbs sear from non-kosher meat, then it becomes osur. And according to the Rashba, the very fact that meat that's being salted, whether it's kosher meat or not, exudes sear. And therefore that sear is osur. Okay, so the question is, v'leim aleim into Shmuel, why doesn't instead Rava bring to the Mori Bar Rochel a proof from Shmuel's din? We said that Shmuel says that when you have something heavily salted, then it's considered like it's boiling.
Didn't
say it applies the same thing. We mentioned the first time we mentioned it in Ar Masechta was in the previous perek in connection with non-kosher meat. Yeah, we did mention it. That we said that something heavily salted, is considered as if it's boiling. The first place we mentioned it in Ar Masechta was a case involving where a piece of meat was salted with a gid anasha inside, and the gid anasha is also.
It's utter, but it's not trash.
Same difference. The point is that. So therefore, the kavush harayakamuvushol. When you have things that are pickled or soaked together, then they're considered like they're cooked. So therefore, so that should answer the question. You have kosher meat and non and treif meat that are salted together. Based on Shmuel's din, it's considered like they were cooked together. And obviously, if you cook together a kosher piece of meat and a treif piece of meat in one pot, Rav Mori Bar Rochel knows good and well that it's treif. So why doesn't Rava answer on the basis of Shmuel's din? Now, it's true, obviously, that a braita is stronger than what Shmuel says. On the other hand, the fact is, what makes us say that the braita is a proof? We still need Shmuel's din. We still need Shmuel's din to clarify it, because otherwise, fine. So the braita tells you that the braita tells you that seer from them is osur. It still doesn't tell you that they absorb that seer to the extent that they're going to become treif. So you still need Shmuel's in that they're boiling, that they're considered like boiling, to understand that they absorb. So why doesn't he just skip the braisa anyway and just go straight to Shmuel? The answer is, imid the Shmuel, yes, but if we only had Shmuel's in, have amina hanim yudomon, then you would think, fine, moliyah hareu kareseach applies when you have blood coming out of them. For example, again, if you had, let's say, the keli didn't have holes in it, then you would have a problem because the blood comes out and then gets reabsorbed, and because the meat is salted, it's considered hot, and therefore the blood gets absorbed.
If you had only Shmuel's
din, I will sit on Veroisban Mo. You would think that maybe that does not apply to the juice or to the gravy. Maybe it's not being reabsorbed wouldn't be such a problem. Hamash Malan, that is why Rava had to first bring the braisa, that the sear is not just considered, unlike fish, we said again that the sear is just considered zeya ba'alma, just sweat, and it's not really osir. In the case of treifa meat, the sear is real solid stuff. And therefore it is osur. So now we need both things together. You need the braisa to tell you that the seer of non-kosher meat is actually osur and can have to other thing when it's absorbed by anything else. And you need Shmuel's din to say what causes it to be absorbed. The fact that the kosher meat was salted and therefore it's considered boiling. Okay.
Salted and obviously if it's cooked.
Right. Well, if it's cooked, we weren't talking about, right. By the way, Tosfos mentions earlier in connection with the case of the fish and the chicken that in the case over there where we said where fish and chicken were salted together, if the chicken was not salted, only the fish was, then you wouldn't have such a problem. Because then even though the fish has salt on it and therefore it's able to absorb, but nevertheless, because the chicken is not, therefore it's not really exuding enough to cause a problem with the fish. So here, the pashtus, it would be the same thing. If the kosher piece had been salted and the treifa piece had not, then it wouldn't be such a problem. But because both of them were salted, then therefore you have a problem. Okay. Yeah, because then the one, because the one is because the tray for one is giving out, because the tray for peace is giving out not just blood, which fine, that slides off or whatever, but also tzir, which gets absorbed, and therefore we have a problem. Okay. The Gemara says, Nasi, I have a contradiction though. A braisa says, dog tahor shemolchayim dog tome. If you salted a non-kosher fish and a kosher fish together, mutter, then you're allowed to eat the kosher fish. Now, my lav shahoyu shnei melochin. Aren't we talking about the pashtos? Aren't we talking about that both of them are salted? So therefore, even tzir is not going. It's not going to absorb tzir as long as it's being toilet. I did toilet the miflat loy boy. So what? As long as the kosher fish is exuding and the pashtos if and the tzeis fish exude to the same to the same extent, to the same amount of time, then it's not going to absorb the tzir from the other one.
Why?
It's the same idea. I did toilet the miflat loy boy loy bola. While it's exuding juice or whatever, that it can't absorb at the same time.
If one exudes, the other one could absorb.
Both of them are exuding because both of them are salted. So while the kosher one is exuding its blood and juices and whatever, it's not able to absorb at the same time.
Right.
So that would show. So why would that be any different than the case of Ramori Baruchel's two pieces of meat? The answer is loy. You're going to show you term aliyach matame tafel. No, we're talking about that the tahor one was salted, the tame one was not salted. It was bland. So now it's not being poilet anything. If both of them, tafel means bland,
nothing.
Without salt. And mibli melach, Rashi says. There's actually a pasuk in Iyov, how you ochel tafel mibli melach. That Iyov is saying about some of the arguments of his friends that they're tasteless, like food without salt. You can't eat such stuff, and I can't accept your arguments. The point is that's what tofu means. It means bland, without salt. So then, no, it's just being salted in order to prepare it, right? Right, it's fish for wild, isn't it? Right. But the point is, it's important which one is which. The non-kosher one is not salted, therefore, it's not exuding anything, or at least not very much. The kosher one is salted, so therefore it can absorb. But to absorb, it needs to have something to be able to absorb. By the way, you have different rishonim discussed over here. Are we talking about that the two of them are touching, or are we talking about that they're just near each other? The Rosh versus the Ran, I think, discussed this. Are we talking about that they're near each other and therefore if they were both salted, you still have the one is able to exude juices that are coming out and the other one is absorbing. But if they were far enough away from each other, then there wouldn't be a problem. Or are we talking about even if they're touching, it's still not necessarily a problem because, yes, the kosher fish is salted. And, yes, as Shmuel said, moliach harei ukereseach, but the little amount of salt that you have on the part where it's touching the tray for fish is not going to be enough to make it be able to absorb. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that would be the case. So not when they're both salted, then you would have the din that Rava tells Mori Baruchel that it would be also. So the question is, what do you mean that it's talking about that only the kosher one is salted and the terefa one is not? Bahamid Katani Sefer, what about the bride that continues? Avalim Hayar Torah Maliach Vatameh Tafel. If the Torah one was salted and the Tameh one was not salted, then it would be mutter. I'm sorry, it brings a slightly different gear. So, how your Torah, Maliach, the Tomei, Tafel, mutter, whatever. The point is that the second part of the Braisa talks about exactly that case where the kosher one is salted and the tereifa one is not. Miklal, the Reisha, Bishashne, Malocha, Maskinen, implying that the first part of the Braisa is talking about both of them are salted. And still the Braisa is saying that the kosher one is mutter. So, not like Rava is telling Ramari Baruchel. The answer is no. Purushi, Kamafarish. The answer is the Braisa is not telling us two different cases. It's explaining. The second case is explaining the first one. Tahor shemolcha im dog tamei mutter. Case that. What is the case where the tahor will be mutter, where the tahor will be mutter? Shahoyer tahor maliach the tamei tafel. Only if the tahor one is salted and the tamei one is not. Where then the tamei one is not exuding enough for the tahor one to absorb from it. And the Gemara says, Hachi nami mistabra.
One second. If they're both salted.
If they're both salted, we're saying that the one is going to absorb from the other.
One second. The salt will take the trefa.
We'll take the tzir from the trefa one, the juice from the trefa one, and cause it to penetrate into the kosher one. Yeah.
It would leave the salt and go into the
Well, yeah, because it's coming out of the other fish. And again, one possibility is we're talking about where they're actually touching. The other possibility is we're talking about they're not even necessarily touching, but they're fairly close to each other.
We said they cannot absorb and exude at the same time. The tar piece of fish exudes because it has salt on it.
That's fine, but eventually, eventually it also absorbs from the other one. Remember, before we were talking about blood, that the blood also slides off, doesn't get absorbed so much in the first place, right. As opposed to sieve, it's sticky or stuff, so therefore, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How long afterwards is it going to absorb?
So actually, you have in Shulchan Aruch, I think it says that you have that meat, and in particular, it talks about when you're passioning meat. I think you have different opinions over there how long it continues to exude. I think you have one opinion that says that it continues to exude for as long as 24 hours. But whatever it is, fine. Eventually you would have the tray of fish stops exuding. But
there's no problem during 24 hours then.
No, but the thing is, there's a difference between whether it's exuding blood versus whether it's exuding sear. When it's exuding fear, it's not necessarily enough to block blood is this thicker stuff. So therefore, you can say I started the mitzvah like boy with blood. You can't necessarily say it was fear.
So what happens if it exudes blood?
The point is
to be absorbed.
Again, blood from fish is fear for all intents and purposes because you're allowed to eat fish blood. So therefore, when we're talking about fish over here, you're talking about strictly the question: is the kosher of fish going to absorb from the trefa one? And because we're talking about fear, it might. Just like we said before, again, in a Mori Bar Rochel's case, we had pieces of meat. So the kosher piece of meat is exuding blood. Fine. And I you told the mitzvah of Leboi, so you don't have a problem with the blood, but you still have a problem with the seer that it absorbs.
It can
absorb seer, yeah.
Seer during when it exudes blood?
Or not even maybe while it's exuding blood, but again, afterwards, there comes a point when it stopped exuding blood, but it itself is still exuding seer, and the other piece is also exuding seer, and it absorbs it. Yeah, seer doesn't block seer necessarily.
You can't take seer from a non-kosher fish and drink it.
So Tosfos explains that we said before that the seer of Tereza fish is Zeya Ba'almahu. Doesn't mean it's mutter completely. That's what we're saying over here. It's just not also on a Daraisa level. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hochi Nami Mistabra. Yes, actually, it must be logical to say that's what the Braisa means, that it's not talking two different cases, one where they're both salted and one where only the kosher one is salted. Because if you were going to argue that in the first case of the Braisa, we're talking about both of them are salted, well then, in that case, why would we need both cases? Hash the Shnei Malochim Shari. If you say it's Mutu, even when both of them are salted, even though both of them are being toilet, and never, even though both of them, including the Tereza one, are being toilet, exude, yeah. Needless to say, that would be the case where the Tomei one is not even exuding. So why would you even need the second case? So obviously, it must be correct to say that the Braita is only telling us one case, and that would be the case. The Braita is telling us, you know why the Kosher one is Mutter? Because the Trefa one hasn't exuded. Because it hasn't been salted. However, the Gemara says, Emishum
Hot... necessarily could exude without being salted.
What, how would it exude? No. Sigma says no. Imishum ha'la'iriya. If that's your proof, then that's not really a solid proof, because you could say tana seifa la'galuya resha, just the opposite. You could argue that the Braisa is telling us two different cases, one where both of them are salted and one where only the kosher one is salted, and it would be saying the seifa to clarify and explain what the resha means. You could argue the other way around. Deloy tema resha tara maliyah tome tofel. Don't think, hypothetically, that In the first part of the Braisa, only the Tahar one was salted and the Tomei one was not, and that's why the Tahar one was mutter. And you would argue Avol Shnei Meluchim Aser, but you would think that if both of them are salted, they might be Aser, because then the Trefa one is exuding Tzir, and the other one is going to absorb it. Therefore, you could argue Tana Tahar Sefer, Tahar Maliach, and Tomei Tafel. Therefore, the Braisa mentions the second case where only the Kosher one is salted, which would be meant to imply Mekal the Reisha Shnei Meluchin, implying that in the Reisha both of them are salted, Vafilo Hachi Shari, and nevertheless it's Mutter. So you could argue the Braisa could be understood either way. The Braisa could be understood as we wanted to, that only one of them is salted in both cases. That's not really two different cases. It's rather the second case is Ketzad, is explaining what do we mean in the first case, what's the scenario in the second one, and then in the first one. Or it could mean that if we didn't have the second case, we would misunderstand and think that the first one is talking about only when the Trefa one is not salted. And therefore, the Braisa mentions both, and now it's clear that in either case, it's Mutter. So you don't have a real proof from this Braisa one way or the other, because you could understand it either way. You could understand that the second part of the Braisa is clarifying, by Medvarim Amurim, or Ketzad, what is the scenario we mentioned in the first one, is such and such. Or it could mean that there are actually two separate cases.
So
we don't know yet.
You could have
The first one would be
It could be that we wanted to say in order to make this braisa fit with what Rava said about Ramari Barocho and his pieces of meat, that we wanted to say that the braisa is telling us only one case where the tahor fish was salted and the trefa one was not, and then we would say it's mutter, but if both of them were salted, there would be osir. And we would say in that case, then the first part of the braisa just says dog tahor shemolchayim dog tummy without specifying what was salted. And the second part that says that the tahor one was salted would be that it's explaining the first case. The first case, which I inform you that the dog tahor is kosher, would only be when only the dog tahor was salted and the dog tummy was not. That's one way of explaining it. But we could also explain that the braisa is giving us, two cases. You would think once you know that it's kosher, if the tummy one is salted, how much more so if it's not salted? Why would you need both cases? The answer is maybe you have both cases, one where the trefa one is salted, one where it's not, in order to clarify so that you don't misunderstand the first case.
So in the first interpretation, you would have the second part of the braisa
explains the first one.
And in the second
interpretation, the second part is there in order to, a different case, in order to clarify the case of the first one.
And to clarify, because in the first case...
Because otherwise we would think that the first case is talking about only where the dog tummy wasn't salted. And therefore you could argue the first case is talking about where they're both salted and the second is not. Okay, so no proof yet. But toshma mi sefer de sefer. But come, we'll bring a proof from the very end of the braisa. The avlam haya tomi maliach the tahor tafel, that if it was a proof to Rava's din. That if it was the other way around, if the tome one was salted and the tahor one was not, also then the tahor one, which is bland, which is not salted, is going to be also because then it absorbs and it's not even exuding its own thing to be able to think. So implying tome maliach the tahor tafel is also, which seems to imply that only when the tome one is the only one that was salted, then it's also hashnei maloch and shari, which would seem to imply that if both of them are salted, then it would be mutter. So that's a contradiction to Rava. And the answer is also, reisha tahor maliach the tome tafel. No, because since the reisha had to mention the case where the tahor, the middle part of the braisa, had to mention a case where the tahor was salted and the tome was not, and he said, there for sure it's mutter, therefore to be parallel, tonanami, sefer, tome maliach, the tahor tafel, therefore the sefer mentions that case also, but not necessarily to imply that that's the only case where the kosher one would be also. It might well be also even if both of them are salted. Okay, so we don't have a proof one way or the other from this braisa, but nevertheless, Rava's din is still a din. That's
we just infer that if the tame one is salted, for sure if they're both salted, it's more likely to be osur.
No, not necessarily. You could say that if the tahor one is not salted, for sure, then it's not exuding anything, then of course it's going to be salted. But that's the point, therefore it's osur. But if both of them are salted, you could argue that the tahor one is busy being poilus, it's busy exuding its juices, therefore it can't absorb from the other one, so you don't really have a solid proof from this braisa one way or the other. Nevertheless, Rava's din is still a din, and therefore if you salted kosher and trefa pieces of meat together, or kosher and trefa fish together, then they are going to be, then the kosher ones are going to be osur.
So the most obvious case is when the trefa is
salted and the kosher is not.
That's very obvious.
That's very obvious. On the other hand, if the tahor one is salted and the trefa one is not, then it's mutter.
Then it's mutter.
And if it's salted, if we're both salted, that's the case that we're not sure about. But that's what we're saying, that Rava's din tells us that it's mutter.
Because of the
salted. That's not true. Because the fact of the matter is, it does absorb.